in the city. Welcome, fine gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Can I get some hair and makeup here, please? Alrighty, we're good. We're good. Just get some volume, you know? I need an intro song. Right now it's Silver Bells. It's Christmas time in the city. For copyright reasons, you're just going to have to sing it to yourself. All right, fine gentlemen. I hope you've all had a wonderful day, a wonderful Thursday, a wonderful trash day. Saw a cute little meme of a raccoon saying, "To me, you are trash." And I was like, this is magical. It is both an insult and an endearment in one. Drongo, good evening, fine sir, and welcome. So, I wanted to continue our highly enjoyable chat yesterday of World War III, which is a continuation of World War II, which was a continuation of World War I, which was a continuation of the fall of man. Very, very summarized. Do yourselves a favor. Get yourselves a Jenga block. They're just nice pieces of wood, really. Look at the grain on this guy. Yes, very nice. Very tactile, feely, as it were. So I was just thinking, you know, more on this thing we were chatting about yesterday about, you know, what was the belligerent, you know, defining belligerence? Who are the people who are fighting? Who is fighting who in this crazy barroom brawl? You know, there's the wonderful joke cartoon about World War I where it's like, you know, everyone's sitting at different tables in a pub, and then one guy hits the other guy, and then all of a sudden everyone's hitting everyone, and you know, who's fighting who? But very quickly it all settled into two sides. It always settles into a dichotomy. It always settles into two sides. And so right now, World War III, the two sides are pretty much everybody else against, you know, Christian white, the Western Christendom, Western white nations, to the point where, you know, because we know who our enemy is. Our enemy, you know, like we discussed yesterday, is corporatist. It's global finance. It's the banking sort of the insidious banking-ness of it all. That through money, through fiat, through debt, controls the Leninist kind of clown brigade who are their proxies in fighting everybody. But at the same time, they've also used the interests of the three other groups, the three other blocks who are still not controlled per se. They may well be. You know, the Eastern European bloc, the Muslim oil bloc, and the Chinese are the three other groups, along with white Western Christendom, who are kind of standing up against corporatist control. At least from what we can see as little outsiders, you know. John Noel, good afternoon. Fine, sir. Drongo, The Fall of Man, volume 73846, log. So right now, you know, this whole thing of, it's like, here's the analogy, normies, right? Institutions use normies to keep the norms, to keep the interests of the institution, to protect the interests of the institution against dissidents, against mavericks, against prophets, against messiahs, against anyone who would reform the institution. The normies are petrified of, the interests of the normies are to uphold cultural norms. They are petrified of punishment and of being. So the clowns who control institutions know that they can use the normies against dissidents, right? So with the dissidents, it's very easy to get confused and be like, it's the normies. They are our enemy. We must kill the normies. Obligatory Fed welcome, feds, you're welcome here. Our war is not against flesh and blood. Our boog is against institutional, is against clowns in institutional high places. Thank you. Back to programming. We get so angry at the normies that we think the normies are our enemy. And, you know, the news foments this. They're like, oh, they're believing it. The normies are their enemy. The normies are their enemy. That analogy, likewise, on a nation, on a global national scale, the Muzis, the Chinese, the Russians are simply normies being used by global finance to absolutely destroy Western Christendom. Not because they hate us, not because they, you know, oh, they're out malicious. Like, no, they're just looking after their own interests. And there's an opportunity to get some things that they're interested in. So yeah, we'll take it. You know, so for instance, China has their own manufacturing interests, their own economic interests. They want to be their own global superpower of economy, manufacturing, logistics, resources. They want colonies around the world. They want world domination. Good on them. You know, that's their deal. And so that interest was used to destroy the American middle class, right? Because the American middle class was built on manufacturing. The American middle class was built on logistics, on economy of economic sovereignty, right? So if you're a corporatist and you're like, how do I destroy the Christendom middle, the middle class patriarch, you know, the average Christendom enjoyer? It's like you take manufacturing away. Who wants that manufacturing? The Chinese. So, you know, the Chinese are just looking out for their own interests. You know, it's like a crackhead wants crack. And so if you say to a crackhead, you know, hey, I'll give you some crack if you go and do something for me. And look, all right, I'll go do something for you. Great, here's some crack. The Chinese are crackheads for industry, for economic world domination. They want economic domination. That's what they want. So it's like, you know, the corporates are like, sweet, we'll give it to you. We'll outsource, you know, we will take over the institutions of the Christian middle class, and we will get rid of their, you know, we'll lower any tariffs, we'll lower any nationalistic protectionism. Economic protectionism policies, and let's flood out, you know, let's outcompete our own people. The Chinese aren't evil. The Chinese aren't our enemy. They're just crackheads wanting their next crack fix. And we keep giving it to them. We're like, hey, why are you still, you know, why are, that's, here's the analogy. The corporatist goes to the Chinese crack addict, and is like, if you go steal the Christian's jewels in his home, I'll give you crack. And they're like, sweet, I'll go take it and give, and then they get crack. It's the dealer who is noticing the natural interests and then targeting that interest at their enemy. We are their enemy, right? Corporatists don't care about China. In fact, they then use their media machine, and they're like, oh, China is the devil. We've got war with China. We must have war with China. You know, all the neocons are like, war with China. And it's like, no, just protectionism. Just, you know, 1,000% tariff on anything Chinese, and we bring all our industry back. And it's like, you don't need to kill the crack addict. Just stop giving him crack. You know, you don't need to. It's like, stop. You know, if the crack addict comes to your door and is like, oh, please give me some money, I need to go back crack, and you keep feeding him and you keep giving him money, and you, oh, let's just pray for him, let's love him. It's like, no, put up a boundary. It's like, no, screw you, dude. You know, locking my door, you ain't coming here again. You know, so we can have boundaries against China, but they're not our enemy. You know, China aren't our enemy. We aren't, you know, they've got their own interests, and we need to have boundaries. You know, if they come on our property, there's repercussions. Boundaries are good. Reciprocity is good. They respect power. They'll respect power. Respect reciprocity. Likewise, Islam, right? What are Islam's interests? So Islam wants world domination of, peace be upon him, Mohammed, is it Mohammed, peace be upon him, and of their religion of peace. They want the whole world to be under submission. to the religion of peace. And so, you know, the corporatists say, okay, great. You know, they, how do we foment this against our enemy? Well, let's start NGOs that bring all these Muzi refugees. You know, let's start some wars. So create some, oh, shame, they're refugees. Let's bring in refugees, right? And again, it's like total, it's a total destruction of any boundaries in Europe, self-boundaries, right? And so the Muzis are just looking after their own. They're like, oh, sweet, wait, I can go to France or England or Germany and get paid by the government. See, by the government, who owns the government, right? The corporatists. I can get paid by the government to have 4 wives and 40 children and worship at my mosque and slowly take over, you know, because, dude, the Muzis are superbly dominionist. You know, their theology for theonomy is phenomenal. Their social technology. We lost that technology. But they're like, wait. I'm going to get paid. Imagine this. Imagine for a second here, Fix, that a pygmy banker, right? There's a pygmy banker in Africa, very wealthy, a lot of ivory, tons of ivory, rhino horns. A pygmy banker calls up his pygmy diaspora guy, his guy in America, and says to him, my pygmy guy, I want you to start an NGO that recruits patriarchal, dominionist, Christian white boys to come over here, all expenses paid, to pygmy land, to pygmy forest, all expenses paid. And then when they get here, we'll pay them to breed, to have many wives and breed. And if they want, they can even, you know, interbreed with the pygmies, because we want to kind of breed these pygmies out, you know. Sorry, he would be a sepoy. Remember our previous, he wouldn't be a pygmy because pygmies care for their people. He'd be a sepoy who the pygmies had brought, who had come in, you know, maliciously. But, you know, we want to breed these pygmies out, you know, so they can intermarry with the pygmy woman and stuff, and we'll pay them to do it. And then we'll pay them, you know, and it's like, this is mad. Like, we're getting paid to go do dominion in a pygmy forest, and like, where do we sign up? You know, like, we'd have like 700 dudes in a nanosecond. You know, it's like, that is literally the deal that they're giving these Muzis. And it's like, of course they're going to take it. It's like, praise God, you get to praise God and get paid. It's like, what? And go live in Europe? Like, you know? W. Laser, welcome, sir. Ryan Taylor, good day to you, sir. Wonderful content. Well, thank you. It's very kind. So, you know, you can't fault the Muzis, right? You can't fault the Muzis for having their interests played to by the corporatists. And again, the Muzis are not our enemy, right? Again, we should have boundaries. You know, we shouldn't let the Muzis come in. They are, even the moderate Muzis, a Muzi is, you know, it's like, if you're going to be an obedient Muzi, you want submission. You want submission to your religion. And rightly so. That's what we want. Obedience to Christ. That's our mission everywhere we go. So, okay, I'll get to our mission as Christians. I'll get to our interest as Christians. I'm getting ahead of myself here. So the Muzis, like, right, we should rightly have, you know, no, like, Muzis don't come and move and live in our countries and societies. Like, you don't just come here and refugee. Like, no, we don't care about refugees. Like, I'm sorry. No. Like, nope. Go to the next country over. Sort your own crap out. You have your own patriarchs, your own place. But again, the media foments this whole, oh, the Muzis, oh, they want terrorism. Oh my gosh, they're going to kill everything. And then the media goes to the Muzis. It's like, oh, America, the great Satan. And probably rightly so. You know, Hollywood is the great Satan and the banks are the great Satan. But instead of saying the corporatists are the great Satan, it's like, no, the everyday American man in a Midwestern gutted town is the great Satan. It's like, no. You know, who did that amazing skit or meme of like a good old boy with an AR-15 holding hands with a Hezbollah boyki with an AK-47, you know, and they're like, we both, you know, what is their thing of like, we both want death to the great Satan. And it's like, yeah, buddy. It's like, you know, you, like, oh, it was like, insanely deeply religious, insanely deeply religious, you know, like loves guns, lives in the countryside, lives in the countryside, you know, it's like politically oppressed or like what, you know, it's just like the, you know, it's like chaps, we're adjacent, you know, we're not enemies. We have the same enemies, you know, but we're gaslighted into thinking that these people who are just, oh, you're gonna pay for me to go be a Christian in a pygmy forest and have four wives and 40 kids and teach them all to love the Lord. And I get to blast over my loudspeaker every morning a hymn to the Lord and read the Psalms aloud. Yeah, I'm in. All righty. You know, where do we sign up? You know, it's like, come on. You know, it's so that's the Moses. And then, you know, with Russia, what happened in Russia was this, you know, the Leninist in 1905, I went on a rather deep rabbit hole, yesterday and this morning, but in 1905, there was a war, 1904, with Japan. Russia, was warring with Japan, over the Korean Peninsula and over a warm water port for the Russians, and the Japs, you know, soundly beat them. And and the Japs were financed, by the way. They had a corporatist loan officer, if you want to call it that. But at the same time, I don't know if you saw the screenshot I posted on Twitter this morning, but Tsar Nicholas, he started taking foreign loans to modernize Russia. You know, and it's like, no, a lot of it is to pay for war, you know, and anyway, Dave Ramsey, where were you 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 150 years ago? Anyway. But you look at Russia, in 1905, there was a failed revolution, a Marxist Bolshevik Lenin, you know, Lenin was later and his tactics were named after him, but he's from that whole flow. That whole flow produced Leninism. So Bolshevik Marxism, they were bankrolled by bankers, by corporatists. And so Russia, you know, the Soviet Union, the communist takeover, Russia was a feudal society who had many disparate interests and cultures and tribes going on within it. You know, so to think that this was a workers' revolution, you know, it's like, no, it was like a tiny minority. I think Bolshevik and Mensheviks, it's like one of them means minority, the minority group. They take over state power. And it's like we are memed into thinking that Russia is this Marxist, Bolshevist, Leninist DNA identity of every Russian. It's like, nope, Russians are just agrarian good old boys, just like us, you know. They're just Christian good old boys, just like us, except a little bit Eastern Orthodoxy and a little bit peculiar because they're Russians or, you know, whatever other ethnic tribes are around there. The Bolsheviks literally took over. They controlled the machinery of the Russian state and then proceeded to absolutely slaughter, I think it was something like 10 to 20 million Christians. You know, the kulaks, you know, we spoke at length about this, but the kulaks were... they were not dependent on government. They were just your small scale family farmer. They had land, they had guns, they had economic sovereignty, they had cultural sovereignty. It's like, we don't need the government. And of course, they got genocided. Never forget, never again. But anyway, so we've been memed into thinking that Russia is our enemy, you know, for 50 years. Well, it was only after the, you know, and this was the absolute stupidity. You know, you ask what the heck was going on. You know, who were the British crown beholden to? Because it was the British king's cousin, was the Tsar. And it's like, would you not go to your Tsar, your cousin's rescue? And it's like, nope, there was some banking stuff going on there, I'm sure. You know, of like his hands were tied. But anyway, World War II, you know, we're all told that it was over Poland, you know, because Germany invaded Poland. And it's like, after the war, Poland was given to another country that invaded them at the same time, Russia. You know, and it's like, and then Patton is like, oh, we fought the wrong enemy. Well, then the Russian people, you know, it's just like that. It's just like us. When people say the great Satan and America is evil and all this stuff, it's like, wait, I'm not evil. Like, my wife's not evil. Her family's not evil. Like, all these people who I love and who I'm living around, like, they're not evil. Americans aren't evil. But America's institutions that are captured are the clowns that are controlling this country are evil. You know, there's a small minority, a small elite that are superbly the sons of Satan that are controlling America. And now we're lumped in with it. It's the same for Russia. Russia, bunch of good dudes who were all slaughtered and murdered, you know, and then put through the meat grinder of World War II. But it's like it was a tiny group of clowns who are absolutely evil, who controlled the mechanisms for, you know, so long. And then we're gaslighted into thinking all Russians are evil. And then the Russians are gaslighted and like all Americans are evil. You know, and it's like, no, chaps, you know, like there's some problems here. But anyway, now with Putin, who's an absolute Chad, let me tell you, you know, I mean, the verdict is yet to be, you know, we don't know what's on the inside, you know, but the reason the media screeches so hard about him and wants him to, you know, wants war with him and stuff is like the dude must be doing something right. And again, he's a nationalist. He's hardcore for, you know, and people are like, oh, he's a bloody dictator and he's a, you know, an oligarch and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's fine. As long as he loves his people and loves his place. It's like, wouldn't we all just want that? You know, it's far better than freaking Western democracy. You know, my gosh. So what are the interests today? You know, so today, Russia, you know, the new Russia, Putin's Russia, and the Eastern Bloc, all these minor little Eastern European countries who are all heavily nationalist, Poland, you know, Hungary, Croatia, etc. What are their interests? Their interests are sovereignty, obviously sovereignty, because they are fighting the UN. They are fighting this Western wielded weapon against their sovereignty and their nationality. You know, I'm sure there's some central banking stuff going on behind the scenes, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Putin is bucking some central banking things. Because what a lot of people don't know as well is in 1935 or six, during the Spanish Civil War, the communists, the Spanish communists, the what were then called the Republicans, the Spanish Republicans, they appealed to the Bolsheviks in Russia to come and help them. And the Bolsheviks in Russia were like, we'll come and help you, but in order to help you, we will keep your gold. We will keep your gold safe. Like you must deposit all your gold in Moscow. And so they did. All of Spain's gold. Hello, Spain. All of Spain's gold. Spain's gold. If you don't remember the great absolute, this is basically all the gold of Mexico and Latin America that was sitting in Spain for 200 years, 250, 300 years, whatever it was. That gold, all of that gold, went on a ship to Moscow in 1935 or 36. Moscow became the biggest holder of gold in the world. I love gold. Does Putin now sit on that gold? You know, did what happened? What happened in 1989? We don't know. We don't know. Does Russia have the biggest gold reserves on earth? Do they have the Latin American gold? Do they have it? Mr. Putin, if you're watching, just put a smiley emoji in the comments if you have it. The second, you know, the Chinese, they've been buying gold up like crazy stuff. Anyway, all of this to say, Russia has their own interests, you know, and it's like, they're not the enemy. They've just got their own interests. And should we put up boundaries against them? Yeah. You know, if they, you know, again, it's like, you know, a good analogy is this freaking crack addict. Like if a crack addict keeps coming to your house, stop feeding him, stop leaving the door unlocked, you know? Anyway, white student, welcome. Fine, sir. RJJ. 1905 feels like it was yesterday. Well, it was the day before yesterday. W Laser, what are some good resources to learn more about La Revolution? I don't know. We're going to need the galaxy brains on this chat to chime in on some sources. Because right now I've just been reading the compromised Wikipedia rabbit holes, which, as you know, are quite liberally skewed. But you can even, you know, even a, what's the word? Even a coward betrays himself sometimes. White student, I have my evil moments. My goodness. Down the line of every man's heart, as Solzhenitsyn says. Rob, good afternoon, fine sir. And welcome. So, you know, all of this to say, we've kind of shown these three blocks, right? They all have interests. So what are our interests? You know, what are the interests? Okay, and what are the corporate? The corporatist interests are obviously control, ownership of every government in the world, right? Everyone, like, you know, this great, they've memed it so hard. You know, this whole thing of like one world government. Like when people hear that, they're like, oh, it's such a meme now. You know, like, oh, one world government. They're just conspiracy theorists. And it's like, if you push something hard enough, it becomes ridiculous. But it's like, no, like that, if you think about it this way, it's like there is so much practical evidence, you know, to be like, yeah, if you look at the Western world, at least, which they have captured, you know, those three other blocks they haven't been able to capture. And then Africa is just an absolute crap show governmentally. And South America is an interesting, you know, we can look closer into that, but heavily destabilized and a crap show. So they don't really matter. You know, South America and Africa are like, they are no threat to corporatist control. They are simply resource beds to be extracted. So the corporatists want control of every government on Earth. You know, they want to own every government. And they're using the Leninists to do that. And they are using other groups' interests to fight amongst each other. What are our interests? What is the Christian West? What are our interests? Our interests are to disciple the nations. You know, it's not very different from the Moses. You know, everywhere we go, we are called by God to disciple the nations, to take dominion over the earth, to God's will in heaven on earth. You know, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is our interests, you know. Go multiply, go be fruitful and multiply. Go build houses there, plant gardens, give your sons and daughters in marriage. Do not decrease, but increase. You know, that is our interests, right? We have those as interests. Now, to disciple the nations means the Moses have it right. The Moses have full-on theocratic software. They're like, yeah, let's legislate morality. Like, let's go hard. Let's own the institutions. You know, let's be obnoxiously religious, obnoxiously faithful. You know, a friend on Twitter asked me, why do I use the term inshallah? And it's like, because the absolute meme linguistic power behind it, right? Inshallah conveys masculine patriarchal energy. It conveys obnoxious religious conviction in the way that Deus Vult and If God Wills It does not, you know, because in the West, our Christianity is an afterthought. It's not a root, you know, it's a cloak we put on. It's not a heart that we live from. Whereas in Islam, institutional life, everything else is a cloak that you put over Islam. You know, Islam is their whole life. And it's like, man, like that's commendable. You know, and that's why we say for us, Christ is our software. Christ must be the operating system, the very heart and mind and balls of our life is Christ. Everything else is just hardware that he runs through us. You know, we are an inanimate glove that the Holy Spirit animates, you know. That is this Christianity. That is our interest. You know, this patriarchal dominionist Christianity that we are rediscovering. You know, we're rediscovering God's patriarchal ways, you know. So our interests are Christian nationalism. We want Christian men to be in institutional, and that's why I say, like, man, you know, it's so exciting, this whole thing, you know, that meme of like, you know, racists are the most inclusive people on earth, or the most diverse and inclusive people on earth, because like, oh, you're a racist. Awesome, we can be mates. We can, because when two people, two nationalists, two patriarchs are like, you know, it's like, okay, you're a Zulu nationalist. I can trust you now because I know that your interests are honest. Your interests are for your people. And you know my interests are honest. My interests are for my people. Well, now we can talk. We're not pretending. We're not lying. We're not like, well, we're liberals, so your best interests are at heart. And it's like, you know, while you go and destroy the black family and, like, you know, use them as a tool. And it's like, you know, it's like, no. Like, when you have in-group preference, you can actually have a really good friendship. Like, when you're a nationalist, you can be really good friends with another people's nationalist, because you know the Zulu nationalist isn't going to want to try and come live with me and parasite off me. He wants his own sovereignty. He wants his own people. You know, that it's respecting the other patriarchs of other people groups. You know, it's like, oh, you're a Japanese nationalist. Well, how can I bless you? You know, what stuff are you learning that I can apply? I don't want to go and live with the Japanese nationalists, because it's like, I don't want to become Japanese. I can respect them and bless them, but it's like, chaps, I've got my own people that I'm, you know, that I'm busy crying out to the Lord over. And so that's the great kind of thing about being a Christian nationalist is, you know, it's nationalism for every tribe and tongue, and then Christ for every nation. We want Christian men at the top of every hierarchy, at the top of every institution, wielding that institution for the good of their people in their place. You know, it says that the sword is a ministry of God. We want Christian men to be wielding the sword, wearing the crown, spending the gold. You know, those are our interests. And we want to figure out, okay, who are the people that we need to start putting up boundaries against? We need to put up boundaries against all these people. Put up boundaries against the Mozis, put up boundaries against the Chinese, put up boundaries against the Leninists, you know, put up boundaries against the corporatists. And it's like, we need to not waste time fighting the Chinese, fighting the Mozis, fighting the Russians. You know, it's like, no, we need to go hard after our own institutions. We need to go hard after our own, the clowns within our own institutions, our own lands, you know? So can we work with adjacent groups? Can we become clever, right? We need to be gentle as doves and shrewd as snakes, as a serpent, as it were. How can we co-opt the interests of these other groups? You know, I've often said this in South Africa, but it's like, you know, South Africa, if you were a clever nationalist, if you were a clever secessionist, you know, from this failed empire, this failed union over the South African economic zone, you would start looking at all the other interests of all the other groups and start playing at their interests of like, hey, Zulu nationalists, what are your interests? Hey, Afrikaner nationalists, what are your interests? Hey, Xhosa nationalists, you know, and like finding everybody's interests, right? Oh, Cape, bunch of CivNats down there. That's fine. I don't agree with civic nationalism, but if that's what it's going to take, like, okay, how do we throw a bone, quid pro quo? How do we scratch each other's backs to get a better place than we are now? You know, that's why what I'm saying in America with the Amish and the Mormons, you know, tons of dudes purity spire. We can't even freaking get it right in the Protestant big tent. Like, we need to have this adjacent, you know, the bus stop theology of like, guys, we can all ride the bus together because we're going in the same direction. And eventually, yes, one of us will get off the bus or be kicked off the bus or kick someone else off the bus. But there's a few things that we can all travel together on. With the Mormons and the Amish, it's like, chaps, like, the, you know, we are adjacent. We have interests together, you know, wholesome families, property ownership, you know, non-usury economies, economic sovereignty, media, you know, the destruction of the great Satan in media and academia and all that kind of stuff. It's like, all right, we're all pretty adjacent. Like, we can travel together. We can do stuff together, you know, and you even look to the extent. So in South Africa of the Afrikaner, you know, because China has started colonizing Africa and to a great extent has ownership over a lot of African resources already. They already are the colonial masters of the majority of Africa. It would benefit the Afrikaner to start to open negotiations with the Chinese, you know, of like, look, we give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. We understand you're the overlords of Africa. We vice very good subjects of you if you would support our bid for secession. You know, that's the kind of thing of like seeing whose interests lay where, you know. And then a lot of you's like, oh, Scott, you bastard, us Afrikaners will never bow to the Chinese. And it's like, that's fine, keep bowing to the ANC. You know, it's like, you have to read your current context, you know, just like in America, of like, you know, we have lost sovereignty. You know, we've lost the institutional powers to be able to call our own shots. And so you have to start, you know, you have to start small. You have to start humble. You have to start low. And it's, you know, this is the great art of statesmanship, of statecraft that we have lost, because we think that we run the empire, when actually, like, you're just being fed a TV show that you run the empire, but actually you're a subject and a slave to people who hate you and hate your people and hate your place, hate your God. You know, and then we laugh at the Amish because, like, oh, they're so backward. And we laugh at the Mormons. And it's like, no, they're actually doing better than us, you know? And even there, within Christianity, we purity spiral so much, you know, of like, ah, the bloody Baptists, you know, what a bunch of bastards. And it's like, guys, we need to ride the bus together. We need to absolutely pull in the same direction. We are all adjacent. We're all, you know, who cares about so many of these purity spiraling issues? And that's what, you know, it's like we want the destruction of the same enemy. So let's go fight the enemy first. Once we've won the institutions, once we have banished the parasites, banished the corporatists and the Leninists, then we can kill each other over baptism and over liturgy and over who's got a better suit on primetime preaching television. Alrighty. Praise God. Why student? The Holodomor ties in with Bolshevik Revolution and gets intentionally ignored by the mainstream. Yeah, and that's the classic, I think the classic Solzhenitsyn, anyway, one of the Russian authors, his classic line, he says, the reason it gets intentionally ignored by the mainstream is because the mainstream are in the hands of the perpetrators. In other words, the people who committed the Holodomor now operate the media. Andrew Graves, American Taliban, checking in. Inshallah, fine sir. And Matt, good afternoon, fine sir. So, all of this to say, I think the biggest kind of mindset shift for us Western Christian boys is like, no, the whole world is not out against us. You know, it's a classic saying of, like, I think it was like, you know, one of these Carnegie, you know, type things of learning how to, you know, win friends and influence people kind of thing, of like, when you realize that other people aren't out to get you, you have to purposefully change your mindset. Other people are not out to get me. They're just out for themselves. It's a great mindset change. You know, when you're like, oh, that guy probably hates me. You're by faith thinking that this person hates you, and like, you're going to by faith call that into being of how you act. And you're like, well, he hates me. So it's like, how do you know that? It's like, well, you know. It's like, no, like, people aren't out to get you. They're out for themselves. People are thinking about themselves. They don't have time to think about you. It's the same way culturally, you know? The whole world is not out to get Christian white people. It's like, no, they're all out for their own interests. There is our clowns in high places are out to get us, for sure. You know, for sure. But other normies, other nations, they've got their own interests. They've got their own, you know, you think the Chinese are thinking about how to screw over the white people? They've already screwed over the white people. You think the Muzis are thinking how to screw over Europe? They've already screwed over Europe. They don't care about us. They don't think about us. They're looking out for their own interests. And so it's on us to start developing in-group preference again, to start looking out for our own interests. It's okay to have our own interests. It's very good for us to have our own interests. And we now need to think, how do we start playing the statecraft game? And even this is, again, like, oh, well, Scott, none of us are in DC in a position of power, so this is just masturbation of ideological principles. And it's like, yes, okay, fine. Scale this down to patriarchal level. We need to start playing statecraft on a patriarchal level in our own churches, right? If your church is run by a clown, you need to find the other patriarchs in your church and start creating alliances, start creating, adjacent interests. Like, what are the interests of all of these other patriarchs? How can we all together defeat our joint enemy, the clowns in high places, and push them out? And then once we push them out, then we can figure out what's next. And in fact, that's probably the best way to rule. Democracy is cancer. Democracy is Satan. The way to rule is honor, hierarchies, right? Patriarchal confederacy, you know, men who realize other men are honorable. And it's like we can rule in a confederacy type manner of patriarchs. So we can bring all of this local, but it's okay to have your own interests. What are the interests of your family? What are your own interests of your house, of your patriarchal house? It's good to have interests. It's good to have boundaries. It's good to not let the interests of other people come and parasite off of your unlocked door, you know, off of your altruism of like, well, but he's begging at my front door. And it's like, nope, get out of here. Do me a favor, please. Get out of here. Get out of here, man. Andrew, fashionably late. Welcome, fancy. So, praise God, gentlemen. It's been a good day's ramble. I really do think it's this whole thing of like learning, you know, because here's what the media will do: of like, how dare white people have interests? How dare Christians have interests? How dare nationalists exist? You know, it's like, no, like I have patriarchal interests. I have Christian interests. I have nationalistic interests. I have local interests, right? I have interests for my local economy that the owner of McDonald's would not be happy about, that the owner of Walmart would not be happy about. I have interests over my local economy that the liberals who live here won't be happy about, you know? And it's like, all right, now we need to start finding the other patriarchs who have adjacent interests. And again, it's like, yeah, but he's not a Christian, or like, he doesn't believe in what I believe. You know, it's like, chaps, this is how you stay at the bottom. This is how you stay a loser. We need to have, you know, the enemy of our enemy is our friend. Can we make friends around the destruction of clowns? Around the absolute destruction of clown world, you know, and then we build our new world and we start, you know, we start building adjacencies towards building the new world, you know, and then at that point, you know, the Mormons will be like, thank you. We're not going to build with you guys. We're going to go back to the desert and build. And then the Amish will be like, thank you. We're not going to build with you guys. We're going to go back to the desert, to the plains and build. And it's like, great, you know, and then we build. So praise God. God bless you, gentlemen. We'll see you all tomorrow, 4 o'clock. And have a wonderful evening further. Go and develop your interests. Statecraft, may statecraft be upon you, inshallah. Love you, boys. Have a good one.